Oh, snaps.
The world is finally waking up to the crap that's baked into and sprayed on kibble dog food. No longer can commercial pet food manufacturers fool us with pretty pictures and false promises. This is the raw dog food truth. The view and opinions expressed on this podcast are not intended to replace medical advice. Before starting any raw diet, do research, ask lots of questions, and consult your vet.
Well, hello, raw feeders. I'm Dee Dee Mercer Moffitt, CEO of Raw Dog Food and Company, where your pet's health is our business, and where friends like my Tennessean friend, Dr. Judy Jasek, doesn't let friends feed kibble. Good morning, Dr. Jasek.
Hi, y'all.
How are you?
I'm good. I've been trying to get my garden in, like, man, because, you know, unlike Colorado, it's spring here in Tennessee.
And, bragger. Just bragging.
Yeah, you're just bragging. Because I'm loving it, because I know you guys just got a big dump out there.
Oh, we did. We actually had almost 4 feet right here.
Holy smokes. Wow. That's a lot.
That's a lot. And it's still there. It's still out there. And yeah.
That doesn't go away overnight.
No, and I'm sure there's more to come. So
yeah, you're in your snowy season. Yeah, I've been out planting. We fenced in a half acre, like deer fence, because we got a lot of deer. So if you're going to do anything gardening, you got to put in a deer fence. So we have a 7-foot deer fence and about a half acre, which is, it's a lot of area for planting stuff. So yeah. I got a little fruit orchard started. I planted my, you know, little bitty trees and I'm just having a ball. I really love planting. It's like a creative outlet for me, you know,
yeah.
You can plant stuff and watch it grow. And it's just a break from veterinary medicine. I get to be outside and get my hands in the dirt, get dirt under my fingernails, you know?
Right. Your toothpick.
I enjoy it. Yeah. I enjoy it. And it's great exercise. You know, I'd much rather be doing that than going to the gym. And let me tell you what, I can feel it, you know, after a weekend of being out there hauling wood chips and doing digging and all kinds of stuff, you know, you can really feel it, but it's a lot more fun than going to the gym, at least for me. It's not for everybody, but at least for me, it is.
Well, I'm done with 75 hard. It is over.
Yeah.
We completed it. We did it. So now the real challenge comes that now that you're not under a program, can you continue to stay in shape and work out and get things done? Because we all say, you know, I don't have time today. On the 75 hard, it was like, you have to make time, right?
Right. So establish a new pattern.
Right. And those patterns go away about 24 hours after you're off the program.
This is what you're experiencing, huh?
Like, right.
I don't have to start over if I don't go work out. So,
right. So that's going to be my challenge. But, hey, I think I told you that I got my book, The Final Pandemic.
Yes, I ordered it. I haven't got it yet, but I did order it.
It's really good. And, you know, it talks about, I love this section, treatments that cause disease. I think we talked about this before. And certainly they're talking about the rabies. Now, I want everybody to know the rabies webinar that we did, that you presented, Dr. Jasek, is now up on our Rumble page. Okay. And that is Rumble and Raw Dog Food and Company. So I've got the link for you. You can post it on your page, but now all of those slides are able to be seen as well. So
okay,
the rabies webinar is there. You know what I heard from our daughter, who's also a vet, that they've added Lepto to the core vaccine schedule.
Jeez.
So that is not going to be good. And you know, it's so hard for people to understand what these vaccines are doing to the body. And yet, if you read this book, The Final Pandemic, okay, by Mark Bailey and Samantha Bailey, both doctors, they're going to point out how all of these so-called diseases were cured by so-called these miracle vaccines. And in fact, they weren't. And also the science, there's really no science behind it. Imagine that, Dr. Jasek.
Right.
Imagine that.
Right. It's like, you know, it's like, I always like to use the example of polio in people because, you know, polio got bad. Jonas Salk came out, you know, he was famous for coming up with this vaccine, making polio go away. But if you look at, so what else was going on? Well, they started using DDT, and this, you know, DDT is a neurologic toxin. And so these, they started using this toxin. People had these neurologic symptoms. They blamed it on a virus called polio. This magic vaccine comes out. You can just see the agenda here to promote these vaccines. This magic vaccine comes out, polio goes away. Well, then they stopped using DDT, stopped using it as much because they realized it was having all these effects. Well, we better back off. It was the top, but it's the toxin all along, you know, but, oh, they want to promote this whole agenda that it's the vaccines. It's just really evil.
Right. Right now in Epoch Times, articles coming out, COVID vaccine gene could integrate into human cancer cells, how the measles vaccine alter natural immunity. The HPV vaccine may increase risk of severe autoimmune disease. And then it was also talking about that Fauci's deputy warned him against vaccine mandates. And Fauci went ahead and went with it. You know, so the Dr. Fauci, right, wanted these mass vaccinations. That's what he promoted. And his deputy, Dr. Matthew Mimoli, director of the Laboratory of Infectious Diseases, he stated coercing or forcing people to take a vaccine can have negative consequences from a biological, sociological, physiological, economical, and ethical standpoint, and is not worth the cost, even if the vaccine is 100% safe. And so, but they went ahead and went on with it. And, you know, we did this rabies webinar. I don't know. I've gotten feedback where people have had really bad experiences going into the vet. Because I think you're going to get treated a little bit like you were treated if you didn't do the vaccine during COVID. Like you have five heads and you don't know what you're talking about. And I do think it's a little, it takes a little while to get your head around it. So maybe you guys need to listen to the podcast and then also watch again with the slides of what Dr. Jacek presented on the rabies webinar.
Yeah. Well, it's like I said, it isn't going to go over well. They're not going to welcome you with open arms, but it's like you got to keep presenting it, keep presenting it, keep presenting it. If they hear it from enough people, maybe it'll make a difference. You know, I saw an email came through this morning. I have a client in Alabama, and she contacted the state vet in Alabama, and she had a kitty that had it's real serious nail bed disease. Kitties get this. It's like an autoimmune thing. Started after a rabies vaccine. Really, really inflamed. And we got this cat doing great. And she's like, there's just no way I want to give another vaccine. She actually called the state vet, which I thought, that's an interesting approach. The state vet told her that if I wrote a letter saying that this cat had rabies vaccines and this condition, you know, verifying that this condition showed up after the rabies vaccine, that he would offer the exemption. So I thought, maybe that's another angle. Go to the top, go to the state vet. Now, I don't know, maybe this is just a particularly open-minded state vet down there in Alabama, but it worked. And that, you know, that's coming from the state vet. So you would think that would be honored by the other veterinarians in the state if the state vet approves that exemption. So I thought that was a good approach.
That is a good approach. It's just so asinine. I'm sorry. It's just asinine. And you think about it, if all of this information is coming out in regards to the COVID vaccine, right now they're talking about the HIV, you know, medication that came out, how that really poisoned people and killed them. We're looking at the HPV, all of these things. And so people are now, there is what they call vaccine hesitancy. We're just saying people are waking up and get smart, right? And they're not doing the flu vaccine or the influenza. So now what are they doing? Adding the lepto to the core vaccine for the dog. So there's two places that I really think are cash cows for the pharmaceutical industry. And that's going to be in the dogs and in the babies.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And We were just in Tucson for Rick's sister's memorial, and one of the his cousin's child was there, and this child has major allergies, okay, to the point that it closes off his throat, and is totally bouncing off the wall to the point that it's just like this hyper thing. And this child has had every vaccine, including
and kids get like, I don't know how old this child is, but like by the time they start kindergarten, they get like 80 or something.
That's where he is.
It's insane. It's insane. How could they possibly be normal kids?
Right. And I was listening, and the reasoning that was being said was, well, his genes and his family, they have this, and my genes. And then we came together and had a child, and that mixed together. And I'm like, nobody looks at what was pumped in to your child.
And if you look at the statistics, it's staggering, just like the autism statistics. Like when they really started pumping these vaccines into kids in the 80s. And then the rate of autism, and it's something like 1 in 25 boys now. And they say if it keeps going at this rate, it's going to be, boys are more susceptible to autism. It's going to be like 1 in 4. So it's 25%. You know, I had a client tell me, and I didn't actually look into this to know more details, but I had a client that lives in Kentucky, one of my neighboring states, that said that Kentucky is offering a class that people can take, and then they can give their own rabies shots. And I thought, what's the ulterior motive there to like kill more pets, make pets more, make pets sicker? So then because the vets would hate that, because that's one of the reasons they give, for people have to come in to get that rabies shot, so then they can sell them on a whole bunch of other things. But maybe in the long run, the pets are going to be so much sicker because they'll be getting more rabies shots. They'll make more money. That, there's a, I don't know. It seems like there's usually a monetary reason. But then I thought, this is a pretty holistic client. She took the class. I'm like, what do you take the class for? And I thought, a person that didn't want to do the rabies shot could take the class, fill out the paperwork, throw the shot away, and their pet has a rabies shot, right? I mean,
right.
I'm not saying that's what.
Oh, no, did, we're not.
But not saying that at all. No, and I'm not suggesting that that's what anybody should do. But, I just like to look at all angles. Like, what's the ulterior motive? Because this stuff doesn't just, I just don't believe that the state authorities or even the veterinary profession does anything anymore that's truly in the best interest of our pets. So what's the ulterior motive? And it's usually about money. So.
Well, okay. So maybe here's an angle. They still sell the vaccine because that's really what they care about, selling the vaccine. Yeah. They don't really care about the health of your dog, or they wouldn't sell the vaccine. Right. So if they can sell the vaccine and the pet parent does whatever they want to do with it, well, then they're still selling the vaccine.
That's true. Maybe they get to sell more vaccines to the people that wouldn't be going in to the vet for a rabies shot.
Right.
I don't know.
Right.
I don't know. I thought that was interesting.
That is very interesting. And you always do have to say, what is the motive? And a lot of times it's not right up front, right? So you have to kind of think about it. But yeah, it's incredible. And, Dr. Jasek, again, what we see, and one of the reasons that you did the rabies webinars, because we see dogs that are so toxic. We see cancer that is just so rampant, right? And we want people to understand and make those correlations. Lazi, sit. Sorry, guys. Sit down. Sit. I have other dogs here, and so my dog thinks she's got to jump on it.
I gotta go check on stuff.
I gotta go check. No. And so one of the things that we see over and over again is itchy dogs. We did the itchy dog webinar. Okay. Then we see Apoquil. My dog's on Apoquil. Then we see all of these types of inner, what is it called? Cyst in the digits. What's it called?
Interdigital cysts.
Interdigital cysts.
Which is like bumps between the toes.
Yes. Thank you. That's easier. Bumps between your toes. And it might not be all toes. And then we also see this incessant itching underneath the chin. One of the things that I'm starting to say to pet parents, Dr. Jasek, is this. We can change the diet. We can add organs and omega-3s. But if you continue to put those toxins, and that's a shock to people when I say that. If you continue to put those toxins in your dog, I don't know if we're ever going to get past this itching, right? And sometimes we can't get past it anyway. But in just the simplest of terms, Dr. Jasek, what is causing, or what have you seen that's causing these bumps between the toes and this incessant, you know, scratching until their chin bleeds on the dogs? What's going on?
Yeah, it's all basically inflammation. And I think, you know, every pet is different. So when you put a poison, a toxin into their body is trying to get rid of it, trying to do something with it. And I think they can detox. I've seen one case just really stands out in my mind. Puppy, you know, it was an older pup, maybe like 6, 7, 8 months old, something like that. And raised holistically, did minimal vaccines, raw fed, all that. And they had to board the dog and they're just like in kind of a rush, got the shots and it just blew and horrible. I mean, the pictures were horrific. It really, like, the poor dog's chin was just a bloody mess. And everything else was done right. Just like you said, they'd done everything really well, one round of shots. And this dog has had skin issues ever since. I mean, we've never been able to get this dog really, really sound again. And they've done a combination of conventional care and work with me. So that can complicate things because sometimes the conventional meds can make things worse in the long run. But I think every day, so it's like, you know, the body, the skin is like the largest organ in the body, surface area wise. And I think this inflammation is the body's trying to get stuff out, just like rashes. They say sometimes chicken pox in children is really just a detoxification reaction. They're trying to push something out. Now, why does it manifest so badly in the chin in some individuals? It's an individual response. You know, it's going to show up differently in different bodies. And I think whenever we have a cyst or a lump, you know, that could be the body walling off those toxins. We know the feet get inflamed and itchy. You know, I mean, how many people say their dogs are licking and chewing at their feet?
Right.
That's just so common whenever they have any skin stuff. So maybe those actual bumps are, you know, the body trying to, you know, wall off these toxins because it's trying to get rid of them. But I mean, I've been able to get those to go away with, you know, the same, you know, changing the diet, you know, herbs to reduce inflammation and things like that. But those bumps between the toes, I mean, they can be really painful. And then it's hard because it's this process, because dogs tend to lick at their feet. It's kind of a natural thing. You know, they lick at their feet a little bit anyway, and then they get irritated and they lick, and then the yeast starts to grow, and then that's itchy, and then they lick more. And then these bumps can actually be painful. They even limping on them, they can be quite painful. And so then they go after their feet more, and they're just in this vicious cycle. But yeah, I mean, I agree. I think these vaccines are so disruptive to just the body's natural ability to manage toxins. And you know, the dogs live in a toxic world anyway. You know, we can't control everything. There's spraying right. stuff in the sky, and there's stuff in the water. And so if we keep the body healthy, it can probably deal with a lot of that stuff. But when you just, vaccines just seem to disrupt that whole system in the body of managing inflammation, managing, you know, disease, really other toxins, because I've really come around to, like, we don't have these boogeyman viruses out there trying to attack them. It's really about managing toxicity. And that's the way I look at it, is the body just can't handle that level of toxicity. It's like we've pushed it over the edge, but the vaccines seem to go a level further. Cause say the dog was exposed to heavy metals or something, you know, in the water, fluoride. Well, you could detox them and probably get them through that. But it's like the vaccines just seem to mess up that whole natural mechanism. And I agree. I think sometimes you can't get them back from that. Not completely. You can improve them, but it could be a lifelong management thing.
Well, and then, okay, we got this itchy dog, and I understand why a pet parent would want to give their dog relief, right? I understand that. Here comes Apoquel. Okay. Now, Apoquel always being touted as this miracle drug for dogs because that itch will stop. All right. But here's the facts, folks. Apoquel, is it safe? Well, you know, Zoetis, who is the Apoquel manufacturer. What's their other name in the human side, Dr. Jasek?
They're Pfizer.
Okay, that's their name, Pfizer. Do we know that name, Pfizer? Okay.
Yeah, they're very ethical, a company well known for their outstanding product development and safety testing.
You're going to be struck by lightning, so I'm good. I'm glad that I'm not standing beside you. Okay, so here's the thing. They did this safety study, guys. And what I think you do learn in this book, The Final Pandemic, is how safety studies are done. And they're
Or
done really
not
quick.
done.
Right. But here's the thing. They're going to report on abnormal health events in a 28-day study. So that means, guys, that if anything happens outside of 28 days, like on the 29th day, yeah, that's not reported. Okay. But here's what they found in a post study of Apoquel. There was a dog that was euthanized after 450 days of the drug. Oh my God. Okay. And the dog had developed all of these different ascites. What is it called? ASCITES. Yeah, that one. Because you're a
Ascites.
doctor.
It's fluid accumulation, like edema. People probably know the word edema, maybe a little better. Fluid
Right.
accumulation.
Right. He had fluid in his chest and his abdomen, so he had to be euthanized. They euthanized another six dogs because of malignant neoplasmas. What are neoplasmas? Or
That's
neoplasm.
the neoplasms,
Yeah,
something like
neoplasms.
cancer, yeah,
Yeah, they're
basically.
cancers that spread easily but aren't detected because of immune suppression. And then they had more dogs that had developed grade two mast cell tumors after 52 and 91 days, low grade B cell lymphomas after 392 days. This is well year into taking Apoquel. More dogs developed other kind of carcinomas. They had anal sac problems. And then they had spindle cell sarcomas after 320 days. Spindle cell in the spine? What is that? Spindle
Spindle
cell.
cell. That's actually
Oral.
part of this.
Oral
It's part of
cancer.
the like soft tissue. Yeah, it's in the like a connective tissue,
Okay.
sarcoma.
And so you see so many cancer patients, and this is what we tell our pet parents. We're like, listen, we get it. You put them on Apoquel. But the next rant, but the next step, and it may not be, you know, right now, but keep doing that year after year after year. And I see dogs that are on Apoquel for a long time, and we see these cancers start to develop, right?
Yeah. Well, if you think about it from the toxicity angle, to me, it makes perfect sense because, okay, if the skin's itchy because the body's trying to detox, it's trying to process something and it can't, and now you just suppress that symptom. So the dog stops itching. You can now sleep at night because your dog's not keeping you up, jingling their collar and all that. But what about those toxins? So you shut down this detoxification. So then what happens? The dog gets more and more and more toxic. You know, these toxins just keep building up in the body, poisoning more and more and more of the cells, and the symptoms just get more and more severe until they break into, you know, cancers, which I think cancer is fundamentally, you know, also toxicity.
Well, you know, Dr. Jasek, we were talking about these bumps between the toes called interdigital cyst. Guess what this important safety information says about Apoquel? Now it says, do not use Apoquil in dogs less than 12 months of age or those with serious infections. Okay, well, what is a serious infection? Okay. And it may increase the chances of developing serious infections and may cause existing parasitic skin infestations or pre-existing cancers to get worse. And in this study that they did, here's just a partial list of the Apoquil side effects, or effects as we call them, seen in the study. Papillomas, which are warts. And number two, Dr. Jasek, is our interdigital cyst with related dermatitis symptoms. Then it also has edema of the feet, swelling of the feet, pneumonia, and then abnormal swelling in the lymph nodes or in the peripheral nodes. I mean, these are just a few of the effects that we see from Apoquil. Does that sound great?
Yeah, it sounds great. It's no surprise to me why people are just lining up for it, you know?
At least my dog's not itching. Now his feet are huge.
Yeah. You know, I would rather, I'll say there's some cases there the dogs are itching just so bad. Okay, we need to give them some temporary relief. One of the selling points of Apoquil, because people are really afraid of steroids and for good reason, you know, there's a lot of side effects that go along with steroids, but it's sold as being safe. I mean, based on this stuff, safe, because it's not a steroid. So people like that because they're afraid of the steroids. Well, this is safe. It's not a steroid. I'd rather put a dog on a short course of prednisone just to give them some relief. Cause I can see some benefit in the very short term, breaking that inflammation. Yes, we're still suppressing the symptoms, but the dog's stressed, they're not sleeping, the house isn't sleeping, everybody is just is anxious, and it's just energetically, it's really bad situation. So if we can just give some relief to that for a couple of weeks while we're introducing the natural things and we're changing the diet, because that stuff takes time to work, and then we wean them off. Like I get them on, get things under control and immediately start to wean them off as we're introducing these other things. You know, to me, that makes sense, but that's not the way Apoquil is dispensed. They're put on it for life. That's the treatment is Apoquil. It's not like, okay, we're going to do something short term until we can, you know, get some other things on board for long-term care. Apoquil is the lifelong miracle drug. And you know what? It is a miracle because it makes them miraculous amounts of money treating all these other diseases.
That's the miracle right there.
It's like the money just falls from the sky.
Well, here's how Apoquil works, guys, and why we say it is not a great solution to your dog's itching long term. Because Apoquil, it's a little bit different from other allergy drugs, steroids, I think, and that's to interrupt the JAK, J-A-K cell, and that's your signaling cell. So what Apoquil does, it prevents JAKs from working, and without JAKs, your dog's immune system cannot function correctly. Okay. Mm-hmm. JAK1, there's three JAKs. Okay. JAK1, vital for the constant surveillance within your dog's body. Okay. So JAK1 destroys abnormal cells that have become cancerous. So Dr. Jasek, that's a problem right there. You specialize in all these dogs that have cancer, but all of a sudden, we can't get rid of the cancerous cells. Number one, JAK1, that would be one reason I wouldn't jack with my dog's scratching with Apoquil.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Right? Because the body has mechanisms for dealing with these abnormal cells, these cells that you know, turn into cancer cells, normal cells that turn into cancerous cells. The body has mechanisms for doing that. It's part of the natural immune system, these mechanisms in the body. And yeah, it's exactly why the cancers occur, is because you're shutting down that whole process along with, you know, other defenses. That's why you get other infections like pneumonias and worse skin infections.
Yeah. Now, what does JAK2 do? Well, JAK2 in your dog's body is central to the production of bone marrow stem cells. And these cells, in turn, become red and white blood cells and platelets. Now, I don't know, Dr. Jasek, but the last time I knew, red and white blood cells and platelets are pretty darn important to the body.
Pretty important. pretty important. And that also, you know, that provides a good, you know, explanation too, why it's so dadgum hard to get dogs off of Apoquil. Like, it's much easier to wean a dog off of steroids than it is off of Apoquil. There's this huge rebound effect because the body's been so dysregulated. Like, and I always tell people, like, yeah, we need to get them off, but dog's going to itch a lot worse for a while. They almost always do. And you have to go through that, or you know, people, they don't like to hear that. And there's, you know, a tendency to just put them right back on because it's working, but you got to allow these systems to come back to normal function. If all these normal systems, even the red and white blood cells, have been suppressed, well, it takes a while for all that to, it takes like a couple of months to regenerate the bone marrow.
Yeah, I want to talk about weaning dogs off right after I tell you what Jack 3 does. You want to know what Jack 3 does, Dr. JC?
It's getting better and better.
Well, Jack 3, okay, so remember, we're shutting these Jacks down. They're not able to work in the body when your dog is on Apoquil. So Jack 3, still very important, helps your dog's antibody system, or their B cells, and its killer cell system, which are called T cells, work properly. So that makes a whole lot of sense why we see dogs that have been on long-term and sometimes even short-term rounds of this miracle drug, Apoquil, come down with cancer.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. And I just can't believe the incompetence in the veterinary profession, that they would literally be prescribing these drugs. You know, like, people like me, I get criticized for doing this weird voodoo stuff like ozone and mistletoe, which isn't harming patients at all. There's only benefit, never any harm, but they can literally be killing dogs with these drugs. That's standard of care.
Right. And your Chinese herbs. Oh, killing dogs.
Yeah, killing dogs. And then these dogs that are on Apoquil, you introduce vaccines, which are toxic, and then they can't detoxify. They can't get rid of that. So you're dumping more and more and more toxins into the body, and you've completely shut down the body's mechanism to detoxify. Like, it makes perfect sense why all this stuff shows up.
Yeah. So we want to tell you how you can get your dog, wean your dog off of this miracle drug called Apoquil that's going to cause a low white cell count, a low red cell count. It's going to stunt dog's growth and increase your dog's risk of cancer. So that's a miracle for sure. So Dr. Jacek, some people think, all right, this is very dangerous. They hear us talk about it. And they just immediately stop. Can you really do that? Can you really just say, okay, you've been doing Apoquil for 6 months or a year, just boom, stop? What's the weaning process?
I mean, I've seen some people do that. They learn about it and they're like, okay, I'm not giving this to my dog again. And they get a major flare up, you know, for sure. So if you want to avoid that major flare up, you know, weaning is better. And I roughly will like try to cut the dose in half, like every week or so. So like, say, and Apoquil is hard. I think it comes in capsules. It's not like a convenient, you know, to like split the pills or whatever. So sometimes we'll go, like, if they're on it twice a day, we go to once a day, or if they're on once a day, you go every other day, okay, you know, that sort of thing. So roughly cutting the dose in half, or you get a smaller dose. If it's a product that you just can't split, or if they're capsules, sometimes it's hard to open them and stuff. So, but they have different dosages of it. So you could just get a lower dose. So then you cut the dose in half for a week, and then next week in half. And then, you know, when they're on a relatively low dose every day, then I usually start to go every other day. So you're giving the body more time. You're letting the blood level drop even lower, which allows all these mechanisms to start to come back. But at the same time, we're offering support. I mean, I can see where people, say somebody doesn't know anything about holistic medicine and they're feeding kibble and they've done everything else more conventional, and they want to get their dogs off Apoquil. I mean, that would be a nightmare because there's no support for the body. But if we're also making sure the dog has optimal nutrition and we're supporting the body with herbs, maybe doing some, you know, detoxification protocols at the same time to support the body. So we're working in the background, helping the body's mechanisms kind of come back into action. Then, you know, usually it's 4 to 6 weeks process I usually take to try to wean them off. And they'll usually still itch. You know, we just try to keep them, you know, keep it manageable so that, you know, the people will stick with the program. But if you can get through it, then usually we can at least get to the point where the itchy skin is manageable. Might not go completely away. And I find a lot of these dogs are still prone to flare-ups. You know, you get into springtime. I'm warning people now, okay, it's time of year, might see a little flare-up, just let me know, you know, and we'll, you know, work with what else can we add into the routine if, you know, as the things start to bud bloom. Well, in Colorado, you're not, because you're still buried in snow. But here in Tennessee, right, we have things blooming. So the people here, the dogs might react to all the new vegetation growing. So we might get a little flare up. But over time, usually those flare ups will get less and less. But we have a plan for managing them.
We still have to go back to Dr. Jasek. What? This is a rhetorical question, actually. What is it that's causing these dogs to itch? What is it? And what is it that's causing so many allergies? Gosh, I just can't imagine what it might be.
Right. I mean, I've said for decades now that if we just feed dogs appropriately, species appropriate, raw food diet, and quit poisoning them, they'd be healthy outside of the injuries or broken legs, or we wouldn't have this chronic illness. I'm like 99% certain. You might have the odd case where, you know, there's, you know, something's a little off, the genetic thing, you know, something like that. But for the most part, they'd be healthy. The dogs would just be running around, living their lives, being healthy. They wouldn't have all this chronic illness. And I think all these diseases that they're supposedly preventing with these vaccines, that's just a scare tactic. They're not going to be all dropping dead of parvo if we keep them healthy. And even say you believed, I don't personally believe that, you know, viruses are a thing. I don't believe parvo. I'm not sure what parvo is, but I don't think it's a virus. But say it was a virus. If you kept the dog population really, really super healthy, probably would be some individuals that died of some of these things that we're protecting them against. But then genetically, that may be pulled out of the genetic pools. It's culling. It's like, you know, your daughter Amanda with the cattle herds. Cow didn't turn up pregnant. Guess what? She ends up in the freezer, right? Because they gotta pull their weight, you know? And maybe that sounds cruel, but how much are these poor dogs suffering with this chronic illness? If over time we got the whole dog populations healthier and healthier and healthier, so it was just the rare individual that had some sort of chronic illness, to me, that would be way, way better than seeing, I mean, the majority of dogs are sick. I can just see it. I can just see, because the area where I live in, unfortunately, most people just feed kibble and they do all the vaccines and they're very conventional. You can just see these dogs are overweight and they're lethargic and their eyes don't sparkle. You know, you can just, and yeah, they're surviving, but they're not thriving. They're not just full of life and happy dogs. You know, they just don't feel good. And it's a shame, because dogs, we should be able to provide that for our dogs.
Yeah. Amanda took on this lab from somebody in the family that couldn't take care of this dog. And when she got it, kibble fed, really kind of agitated, aggressive dog. It's sweet, but was really just had this kind of on edge personality. Started feeding raw. Those dogs are back here this week and with us. And she's like, this is a totally different dog, right? Not even looking at what this dog even could be more better, right? This dog could be mo better if he didn't have vaccines in him. But just changing the diet, okay, getting off the high sugary carbs, getting off the substandard, the lack of vitamins, the lack of minerals, this dog's personality has changed. And so my point is, if they didn't have toxins in them, how much better would they be? And I don't know why it's hard for people to understand that the dogs that we see that don't have toxins, that don't have substandard food in their body, do not have, okay, these problems. They don't have these inflammatory problems. They just don't. There's no reason for them to. But that seems to be like, oh, well, that's just a rare thing. No, it's not rare. It's normal. That's the issue. It's normal. And we have made these dogs ill, as you say. Uh-huh. They're getting murdered. Yeah. They're getting murdered.
They truly are.
But we've twisted it. It's like, no, they got to stay healthy. You know, I'll talk to people. We have that form on our website says I'm overwhelmed. And when you fill it out and then people make comments at the bottom, my dog is fully vaccinated, itching like crazy. I don't know what's happened. And it's like, at what was that trigger point, right? What was that trigger point? There's some point, whether it's that first, second, third round, and they just go over the edge, right? And then you put them on raw, and we may not be able to get over all those toxins. And then the narrative is the raw doesn't work. Yeah, the raw works.
Right. It's not a magic bullet. I think some of these dogs, I mean, sadly, some puppies are started on vaccines at like 5 weeks of age. Like you're disrupting this whole natural process, you know? And then I hear these, you know, horrible stories where like the breeder gives a vaccine and then, you know, they take the puppy in for its well check. And, you know, then they just had vaccine from the breeder a week ago and the vet doesn't check. So then they just give it another round and they're just walloped. And I think that's hard to completely get them back from, but the raw, it still helps. If we're supporting the body nutritionally, it still helps. And I do see some cases, I would say they're very uncommon, but I see some cancer cases where people have done a good job. They've minimized vaccines. They've done the raw diet. And they're like, what the heck? But that's environmental toxins, glyphosate. I mean, we can't get away from them. People, usually there's, you know, they're walking them in the parks, they're taking them to the sports fields. So there's a strong chemical exposure, but I always tell people, and I believe this to be true, that we're still way, way far ahead of the ball, that everything they've done to that point is going to make that cancer so much more treatable. We're going to stand a way better chance of getting on top of it and managing it and keeping that dog alive for a lot longer with a good quality of life than if it had been an over-vaccinated kibble fed dog. So it wasn't for nothing. It's just, we live in a toxic world. It's hard to get away from it. If you're letting your dog drink tap water, city water, God knows how many chemicals are in there. You know, it's really, they're spraying stuff in the skies. I mean, we really can't completely get away from it. But if you do everything you can to support your dog's body, it's still going to be whatever they get. If they do get something, still going to be way easier to treat. We're going to stand a much better chance.
Yeah. Yeah, you are. And here's the thing, folks, if your dog is currently on Apoquel, okay, you want to get your dog's body clean. If your dog has gone through many, many rounds of vaccines and you want to try to get your dog detoxified, you want to work with Dr. Judy Jasek. And where can you find her? AHAVet.com. AHAVet.com. That's where you want to head over so that her team can go through everything, right? And can really help you get that dog in tip-top shape without using other medications that cause further disease. And that's the problem. You get on a merry-go-round and you don't know what to do and you just keep spending money and spinning your wheels and you start losing your mind as a pet parent. right? Because you
Also these people that are on so many supplements, I see people get frustrated because they're like trying to do all the right thing and they're mm-hmm. coming in and these dogs are on so many supplements. I can't tell you how many times we're like, we've talked about that in the podcast. Take them off. We've got to clean out the body. We've got to get them off of those things. So if you're frustrated because you're trying to do all this stuff and you're following other veterinarians that sell lots of supplements and you're going down and you're ordering, you know, all this different stuff, sometimes those things are just overloading the body. And
right.
We need to back off on all of that stuff, get down to a good baseline and then carry on from there.
Yes. And I'm just going to promote this one more time before we go. The Final Pandemic. I get nothing from this book, but I think that it is something that we need to understand because it helps us in understanding what's happening with our pets. It helps us to not be so afraid when we're confronted with things that maybe we don't want to do. And you've got to have that information, just like the rabies webinar that you can find on our Rumble site. Are you going to post that? On your
site? Yeah. Yep.
Okay. Okay.
Yep.
Good.
It'll be on our, we have an education page, so it'll be there.
Okay, good. And that education page is under media. Is that correct? On your site, Dr. Jacek? You're like, I don't know. I got to ask Chris where he put that.
Well, if there's an education tab right at the top.
Okay. Okay. So that's where you put it. Okay. Yeah. Awesome. So Dr. Jacek has lots of information right there, ahavet.com. You can go over there. That's Apple, Harry, Apple. Apple, Harry, Apple. Vet.
It's a very I don't know about those name. Harry apples.
I you have Harry apples. All righty.
Okay, we're going downhill quickly.
So we are going to have another webinar soon. I don't know what it's going to be, but we're going to do another one because these are fantastic. The educational webinars are fantastic. Maybe what we need to do, Dr. Jacek, is like, what are the effects of antibiotics, Apoquil, prednisone, why they're used, and when they become a problem, because that's a big thing out there. So maybe we should do a deal on that. Not that you want any more work because you're busy feeding the chickens and planting your food, but you know.
But it's important to educate because the more education is power, and I want to empower pet parents to take better care of their pet. And it's not about, I mean, I'm happy to, you know, work with people that want to schedule with us, but I think people could do a lot for their pet just through getting the right information. Right. They may not even have to schedule a consult because they could figure it out. Okay, they do the diet and then they learn about these medications maybe their pet's on that they need to try to get them off of. And I think too, you know, pets that get like into the system just get sicker and sicker and sicker because they like keep looking for more things. Like, you know, we've talked about the elevated liver enzymes a lot. You know, I see so many pets, just these slight little elevations, you know, like, okay. And again, I look at it, body's just trying to detox, liver's overworking a little bit, no big deal. Give it a little liver support. Let's maybe drop some of the supplements. If the dog's on a lot of supplements, those enzymes come right back down. On the conventional side, oh no, they want to do like a $3,000 liver biopsy. And I'll tell you what, the more they keep poking at things, they're going to find something because they just keep inflaming the body more every, and then something like that requires anesthesia. So that's more drugs and the body just becomes more and more toxic. The poor dog's so stressed because it keeps going in for these procedures. And then eventually they'll find something because that they're creating through these procedures. So keeping pets out of the conventional medical system as much as possible, unless it's a true emergency, you know, where short-term, sure, emergency care, stabilization, fluids, yeah, things like that. In the short-term, couple of days, yeah, let them do their thing because that's where conventional medicine shines. It's the same on the human side, but anything long-term care, it's just going to make your pet way sicker.
Yeah. Got to get off the merry-go-round. And you can do that right here at rawdogfoodandcompany.com or at ahavet.com. Send us your comments. You want to see more webinars on what? we'll put them together. As long as they have to do with, you know, dogs. We're not going to do webinars on dancing.
Right? That'd be fun, but I wouldn't have much to say.
Right. All right, everybody, get over to rawdogfoodandcompany.com, where your pet's health is our business. And what, Dr. Jasek?
Friends. Don't let friends feed kibble, y'all.
That's right. All right, we'll see you next week, Dr. Jasek. Okay, bye-bye.
Oh, snaps.
Find out how you can start your dog on the road to health and longevity. Go to rawdogfoodandcompany.com, where friends don't let friends feed kibble, and where your pet's health is our business.
Just snap.